I don't want to take this lightly because that's a very critical issue. It says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he, talking about Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, the point of this is that it is hinged on the training day is hinged on the fact that this life is preparing us for the next life. This life is not a test to see if we're worthy of the next life. If it took worthiness, that would end it because we're not. We wouldn't be, I'll put it like that. We were made worthy by God. He understood this. See, the reality is that this was his plan. He wanted a family, and he wanted a family that understood things as he understands things, that would treat people like he treat people, of the greatest of which is that he's merciful, he's loving, he forgives. He understands that there's the diversity of our personalities. And so his objective is for us to master love. He's thinking in terms of billions of years. We think of the now and not even the here. And if you really, when you look at the Bible, even though they call it religion, the world is religion. Religion is part time. Christian life is forever. And the religion is part time. It's something you do, it's rituals you do, but Christianity is a life you live. And that's the mindset that you have to have. It's a life that you live every day. You have to be ready to address every issue in the same manner, that God does with all the challenges. He has the advantage of being omniscient. We, on the other hand, are just beginning. I mean, even if you had been back, during the time, early time, in the beginning, man used to live a lot longer than he does now. I mean, the oldest living man was 969 years, and before that, Adam himself lived, I think, to be 930 years. Now, because we don't even get close to that now, there are people that teach that had a different type of element of time. No, science have proven this, that's not possible. 24 hours is 24 hours. They didn't have a 24-hour hour. A 24 hour is 60 minutes. It's the same. The difference is all you have to include all the factors. What we have been discussing, we're still at the very beginning, where this mess started, but the point in the beginning is that this is the point. When it talks about in John, we shall be like he is, we're talking about having power that's beyond our imagination. And if you look at life, and how people conduct their lives, and look at what's going on now in governments and all this chaos is because of mishandled power. That's all it is. It was when man got to what you see going on in the world to now is simply the result of man having, that they used to say, got too big for his britches. He really think he's as smart as God. He got it all figured out. He don't need God. And now God is sitting back with his arm folded, and this is final exam. So what I'm trying to help, and particularly people born now, adults now, 20-year-olds now, they're in a whole different environment, unlike any other time in history. They have more challenges, the distractions, than anybody ever had. You know, for the first 6,000, 5,000 in 900 years, man's mode of transportation was just a horse and a carriage. And if he went anywhere beyond, if he tried to cross the sea, he only had a sailboat. We're talking thousands of years. this technology that we have now, nuclear-powered passenger ships and planes that fly, they're just humongous. 747, 787s, all this stuff is not, this hasn't been around thousands of years. This hasn't even been around hundreds of years. Most of it have only been around decades. Electric-powered cars. Just as an FYI, some of the first cars ever made was electric, so God gave them the revelation of how not to pollute the air but greed. See, that's the whole point, even there. Because man is a God-class creature, and because he's going to be part of God's administration, it is imperative. See, unlike other governments, we're not going to have Democrats and Republicans. You ain't going to have all this thing. It's going to be a theocracy. It's going to be what God say, how God say, and that's it. You know, you won't get to vote. You won't get to advise him. You will just do it. And if you have a problem with that, the alternative, I mean, it was his intention for you to be here. What did not happen in the beginning was Adam and Eve did not wait. It's as simple as that. I know people want some deep theological reason, but they did not wait for God to give further instruction. He gave them enough instructions. If you go back and you read chapter 2, he told them they could eat of every tree in their garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, had they waited, God would have instructed them what that was about it. What was the hurry? They weren't going nowhere. They didn't even know where to go. You know? They had all that they needed for life. They were eating. They had a place to stay. And they had life was good. So they didn't wait. That's the simplicity of it. And now this other character comes into play who also didn't wait. See, there is a situation that occurred last week. I talked about how this stuff began, how Satan got kicked out of heaven. You know, it's just amazing. You know, same thing. You know, these set of lessons that I'm teaching began with a question. You know, even though when I was growing up, they said you don't question God. Now, that was based on, I imagine, the fact that they hadn't read the Bible. You know, one of the things I find in the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testament, is God say, seek me. Why are you going to seek him? Because he really has the whole truth about this whole situation. You know, and while I'm at it, you can thumb your fingers or flip your pages to Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to look at another aspect of the rebellion that began in heaven. Again, like I said, the dude, Satan, you got to be pretty dumb to be him. You know, he never had the trouble. Nobody know the trouble I had. He never had bad days. And that wasn't good enough for him. You know, it's amazing. He led Adam and Eve to do evil, but he never experienced evil. The only evil is don't do what God say, do how he say. That's evil. Okay? And last week I talked about the fact that God can't do evil. So how do you teach people about evil? Well, you can teach people about evil. They have to decide to accept what you teach them. That's a case that what happened with Adam and Eve. God could only teach them, but they had to decide to accept it. He had told them, don't eat of this tree. Don't eat of the tree. It was that simple. God say don't. Now, because we are God-class beings and not automatons, we're not robots, we're decision makers, we have to understand how we make a decision. And in this case, we have to think always in terms of how this decision is going to be impacted, or how this decision is going to affect not only me, but all those under my care. Now, like I said, Satan didn't care about nobody. And forgive me, I'm doing some moving around here. Satan didn't know. Well, he knew, but he's you know, there's certain characteristics that goes with all thinking beings, and that one of those is jealousy. But Satan, like I say, he became a tool with his rebellion. Rather than just cast him away, burn him up, lock him in the bottomless pit till judgment day, God decided he would use it. And God is a righteous judge, and it just happened to fit his purpose. Because as I read, we read in Revelations chapter 1, it said that he has made us kings and priests. Now, those are rulership positions, and there are rulership positions that are intended to be run according to his word, not just any old kind of way. What you see, again, what you see going on in the world is people trying to run the world without God, and the results are disastrous. You know, there are things right now, particularly what's going on in the world is, in case y'all are listening to this after the rapture, COVID-19. You know, that's not something you can fight with military might. That's not something that you can contact the Washington think tank or the ECU, the European Economic Commission, and get their brains together and figure out how to overcome it. They're dealing with something that's microscopic, something they didn't expect, something that is so, it's amazing how this thing has shut down the whole world. And they can't even figure out what it is. Most Christians can't figure out what it is. Down the road, I'll be explaining what a spirit is. I can say it now. It's an intelligent being. It's an intelligent being. In order for COVID-19 to do, in order for coronavirus to do what it do, it has to have a complete understanding of your anatomy. People can be in denial about how complex this thing thinks, but the reality speaks for itself. People are. You'd have to go to medical school to learn how to do what it already knows. Of course, it's had 5,000 years to study us, okay? They couldn't study angels. Angels don't get sick. Angels do or die. They do what God say do, or they become demons. That's what demons come from. They were angels. We talked about that was in Revelation chapter 12, the beginning of another aspect of the rebellion when Satan and his angels got kicked out of heaven. And again, we got into Ezekiel 28. Well, he began to be, when he began to probably exercise his power and begin to realize how much power he had, and assuming because he had not challenged or been challenged. I don't know. He may have challenged another angel and beat him down. You know, he's kind of crazy. You see that in the way folk act. They act like they father, you know. But he really think that he could overthrow God. He figured, I get enough of us together, we can overthrow God. People make that mistake. Have you ever noticed that all of these people that were so smart over history, that they don't exist no more? You know, there's there are no Caesars. You know, even them false gods that they claim, Zeus and Neptune and all them, you notice you don't hear about them? You ain't heard about them since Jesus showed up. Because the real power is here. And that's, again, the whole point, if you're trying to figure out what am I talking about, I'm trying to help you to understand, get this point. Without Jesus, the why a good person wind up in a hell forever is because they don't have the power that God knows that they would need to not participate in a rebellion against him. It's challenging enough with it. People have to record, people don't, you see all the corruption in the church over the years, throughout history, where men, look at, why do we have more than Christianity? How come we're not united into one? We have all these variations of Christianity. That's challenging, and I'm almost willing to step out and say, in each case, they didn't stop long enough. Ask God for clear directions. That is that simple. Because I say this because whenever I get off track, when I stop and ask God if I'm off track, He not only show me I'm off track, show me where I got off track, and show me how to get back on track. And I'm not special. I'm not more special than any of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because, again, we're not omniscient. Neither were they. You know, so they started all these useless battles. And this the deep thing. The one thing they most of the time, 90% of the time, agree on is salvation through Jesus Christ. They just disagree on a whole lot of other issues, you know. And again, it comes back to seeking God. Seeking God. I mean, Adam in the garden, he should have stopped and said, Lord, is this all right? You know, should we eat this fruit? I mean, really. You know, some things when I read in the Bible, I just know. one that really stands out for me is Mark 11:25, and it says, "If you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you." That I read that one time, it burned in my spirit, and ever since then, I've been openly willing to forgive no matter what. That's one of the areas I'm strong on. I let it go. It don't say I have to hug you, buy you dinner, take you out. It say I have to let it go, and I let it go. Why? Because I know I'm going to need forgiveness. It's just a matter of time. You know, it takes longer now for me to get into off track, but it's part of this life. See, we're going to be sharing a lot of the experiences that we have in this life with those who are born during that 1,000 years. They haven't had this experience. They won't have had your experience. They will not have been challenged by demons. They will all be locked up. So they won't know what you're going through. You will have to share that with them. You know, it's interesting. This one particular person I wholeheartedly believe, because what I like about it is they did the same thing. They say the same thing. Go to God. They went on a journey. God took them on a journey to heaven. And one of the things that verified, I was going off of Hebrews 12:1, said we are, let me read it. Let's get this right. Hebrews chapter 12:1. It said, "Wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The cloud of witnesses. But not only that, other instances in the Bible. You know, Mark chapter 9, where Moses and Elijah has a conversation with Jesus. I kind of gather that some of the things we experience down here, they observe. They're just held to strict silence. But it's an opportunity because we are experiencing something they didn't experience. They might have had somebody steal a cart. Obviously, there was theft because it was one of the major commandments, you shall not steal. But they never had to deal with, pretty much they have had to deal with it. They didn't know, they did not have the advantage of having Christ on the inside and as an individual deal with the situations that we deal with. Because all that is part of the learning process. You know, some of the things that Apostle Paul wrote, he didn't get the chance to explain. This is why people struggle with the issue. I was just, if you were following us on Running for Christ radio broadcast, I was sharing about speaking in tongues. That's been one of the long, that's been a battle ever since I got saved. And right now, it's even more critical. It is a power. It is a elevated power. It is, if you understood, it's the difference between dynamite and nuclear power. It's that much different. Because, you know, if you can see me right now, some will be able to, I have a map behind me. And you should have a map. I learned that about prayer. See, this is the thing about power. You really get to see how much power you got when you pray over situations and then watch for results, okay? What's affecting nations, what's affecting the whole world right now is going to be resolved by prayer because it's tremendous. It really is. Again, what happened in the garden was Satan managed to strip Adam of his power. Let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. I'm going to go with verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom, quote, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, again, that, when that exchange happened, you know, when Jesus was confronted by Satan in the book of Mark, Jesus did not dispute. Satan offered him everything, offered him the world, offered him kingdom, offered him all he wanted for was for him to worship him. Jesus did not dispute that. One is that he knew he was coming to repossess it. Repo, he's Jesus, the repo man. He repoed it. But you can only repo through accepting Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it doesn't matter if you agree with this or not, Satan has authority over you. You don't have authority over anybody that's in Christ. Remember that, Christians. This is why, if you remember, I talked about the fact that I have brownouts and not blackouts because I learned to use the power, and I have learned it. And I'm not. I don't walk on water. I can't fly. I can't walk through a wall. I prayed for two people in 40 years that received miracles. So I'm nowhere near Jesus. Okay, but the whole point of that was I was curious. And so I asked God about it, because if we can't change the natural, but that which is unnatural, Satan is called the prince of the power. When is it? Dude, he got a bunch of aliases. Another alias he got is the prince of the power of the air. Fortunately, he's not the king. Otherwise, we'd still be sure. All these storms, you got to try it. I don't want to get off into that just yet. But you ask God about it. Ask him, because when God gives you a revelation, nothing stops you. That's one thing about it. When I got a revelation, I don't argue, debate with nobody. See, we're not here. It is not God's intention now to solve all the world's problems. What God is intending is for us to understand how to use the power. Goes back to Genesis 1:26. When he made man, he gave us dominion, and that has not been rescinded. This is, again, like, don't ask God to do what he has authorized you as a believer to do. Ask God what you need to do to get done what needs to be done. Now, let me give you another FYI on that, too. You cannot override another person's will. You can pray for somebody, and they you can keep praying. You're not wasting your time praying. They can change their mind. You know, what you ask God to do, he will make every effort to do it because, first off, you never ask God anything that's not his will. And the simplicity of knowing what his will is, if it's in his word, for instance, if you want somebody to get saved, and that's God's will for all men, he said he's not willing that any should perish, so you can pray for them. But now, when you pray for them, understand, this is the end of death, the underworld. That's the unseen world. When you pray for them, demons are going to try to block it, try to stop it, try to change it. Every time you pray for them, they're going to offer the opposite. You know, that's why they see all this together is for our training. And again, like I said, a person get to make a decision. You can't override them. If we could override people, believe me, things would be a lot better. Amen. But now God is only looking at one thing. And understand this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. Okay? That's in Galatians, I believe, 5:6b. Faith works by love. God is love. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love. So when you release in love, you're releasing God into the situation. It's that simple. But now, again, like I said, a person, if you believe in God for a car, then you have to believe God for the means. If he got to use, see, again, you don't know the means by which, if you want a car paid for and whole, you don't know the means by which he has to get it done because, again, he's going to have to use a person. He's not going to counterfeit money, okay? So to get that done, now, and all this is, believe it or not, is connected to what happened in the garden. We just in the now. I'm just sharing right now. He's going to have to use a person, but again, he's going to need you to pray. See, this is what went on with the garden was, again, it was a power move. It was a power play. In order for you to pray, if you pray, angels move. Okay, we're going to see at some point in time, then all that there's an alignment. There's conditions to prayer, okay? One is, you know, you got to be pursuing the will of God, meaning don't live in sin. You know, don't live in what God calls sin, see? And as long as and then if you do, you just correct it. God gave us a lot of outs. We just get to go back and say, Lord, forgive me, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name, and it's done. You're going to find out back in the day, doing the Old Testament, and all even with the first sacrifice that was made for sin, God did it. You know, so where was we? I guess we can get to the text now. All right. We were talking about how this mess began. And again, I'm trying to help our millennial brothers and sisters. And it's really amazing that they are called millennials. they're the last generation. And the next generation behind them is called Generation Z, the end of the alphabet. You know, and everything coordinates that. We had 2000, what is this? I'm getting ready to say 18, it's 2020. But the reality is, we're not coming, remember this too. The world is not ending. The world of sin is ending. Satan's world is ending. And it is exactly 7 years after the rapture. You know, that's another area people argue over. Well, that's an event. It's kind of like with the flood. People didn't believe Noah. I would have been on that boat. I would have been Noah's hired hand. My name would have been in the Bible. Believe me, I would have been on that. You know, it's just the way it is. Just because it hadn't rained and they hadn't seen a need for a boat, just as an FYI, when Noah built that ship, you know, God had to teach him engineering. He had to take an engineering course before he could build all that. Then he had to build the equipment. I mean, think about what went on for him to build that boat. It ain't like he went down to Home Depot and bought some lumber, okay, and built a boat. God had to teach him some things, and he had to carry out what God shared with him. He had to forge some tools and build them. And now, I mean, God gave him specific measurements that he had to do. It ain't like he went to the Ireland shipbuilding yard and ordered an ark. You know, he had to do that. You know, he had to cut down some trees. And, I mean, there's a lot involved in that. You know, we read it and we see this is another aspect. We simplify things. We just go through it like we're getting points for having read it. But this is life. This is life. There is no book on the planet like the Bible. The Bible, Isaiah was called the eagle-eyed prophet because he saw way into the future. I mean, it wasn't like what they lead them, time capsules. He didn't leave no time capsule for Jesus to read. He talked about Jesus coming in four chapters of the book of Isaiah 600 years before he came. Don't argue with me about how many years it was before. Listen, if it was a week before he got here, listen, only person know the future is God, okay? But let's read. This is another aspect, okay? Last week we read about when he was in the book of Ezekiel and he was in Eden, okay? Because God, like I said, God hold the key to all this, you know, because the characters... King Tyrus wasn't nowhere near being born then. It was an authority figure that eventually became manifestation. I keep forgetting the name. It's not a theophany. Theophany, I keep using that term. A theophany is when God appeared in the form of a human being, okay? And you can tell a theophany because God is the only person, the only person who rightfully can be worshipped. That's why people have problem with Jesus. I don't have problem with it. You know, I mean, it says in the book of Titus, it says it plain, the greatest the mystery of godliness, for God was seen in the flesh. I mean, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. You have problem with it? Take it up with God. Listen, the guy don't have no birthday. Don't be trying to put no Ivy League college logic to this. Just believe God. It says, how are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer? That Lucifer was Satan's name, son of the morning star. Anyway, that was his name before he got the big head. So how are you cut down to the ground, which did weakest nation? Now, this is really speaking about his future and how he got to this state. Because, again, like I said, he was in a glorious state. Remember when we read in Ezekiel, the dude had his own music system. A lot of the music we enjoy now, he had it back then. He had his own thumper system. You know, he had junk in the trunk. I mean, he was rolling. You knew when Satan showed up. So... it says, for you have said in your heart. Now, this is where we get into trouble. This is why I always keep repeating, go to God, go to God, go to God. Because this is a characteristic of being influenced by a demon. When you get to that place, I will ascend. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. We'll sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And guess what happened every time? It says, and yet you shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Okay? You know what they say when you put yourself up on this pedestal? No matter which direction you step in, you go down. You know, it's in a way it's sad, but again, the fact that Michael and Gabriel wasn't that dumb, meaning that they all they had to do was sit and wait. You know, I mean, they like, this dude must be out his mind. Like, man, I got it made in the shade, triple gold gray. I mean, look at here. Them dudes, they really did not understand how great they had it till we showed up. When man showed up with his craziness from almost from day one, then they begin to realize it's like these are some real. Then it shows another side of God. I imagine worship kicked up to another level when they begin to see the fruit of the Spirit manifest in God. I mean, it's really just amazing. But again, God is looking at the fact that he's looking at a people that he's going to utilize to rule. And I can only imagine that there will be universal expansion. You know, I mean, and if it don't, I won't be depressed. You know, but it, you know, he's a God with a work ethic. The difference will be, I won't experience what I experienced today. You know, where I went out for a ride on my bike and I came back, I laid down and I was asleep for an hour. it didn't take no time for me to go to sleep. You know, but that ain't bad when you're 69. I'd be glad about that, you know, because I know people 59, 49 can't do that. So praise the Lord. So I'm trying to help you understand that you have outside of your body, because you present more of a threat than you can possibly imagine, it is imperative that you get a revelation that you need to be submissive to God. I don't want you to miss and think I'm just throwing a whole lot of stuff out there and just saying some stuff. Because when you look at how people acting now, I'm watching right now what should be happening. Or is happening. It is happening because I know people be bringing it to me and inviting me to their prayer. Prayer is not just a ritual. It is exercising the authority God gave us. He expects us to respond so that he can respond. This is what has to happen. And in many cases, though, again, you have to have a proper understanding of how this works. Understand, it is not. One, a person, if you're listening for the first time, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can beg God, but you really can't intercede. You don't have authority with God. That is one of the things that, one of the provisions Christ made. That's established from day one. He has made us kings and priests. Right, it's really interesting that, but what the first Christians did not have a Bible, and they didn't have none for about the first 1,700 years. And even when they got them, getting people to read them once they got them was going to be yet another challenge, because today I find that 98% of Christians don't read the Bible. They haven't even read the whole New Testament. It is not possible for you to carry out the will of God and not know what his will is. His will is his intention. I mean, this is rehash for a lot of people. You know, it's rehash for me. But I'll tell you what aspect is not a rehash is I never really thought about the fact of how much power I would wield outside of my body. What it is like to be just like what Jesus is now. But because I'm into, I don't want to get into engineering terms, understanding things at a molecular level, that's as deep as I'm going to get with that. it then behooves me. It's like I know I can't give God no excuse. I mean, I couldn't give him one anyway. I mean, my relationship at this level began November 16, 1976. He just, I was just praising him for the first time. I didn't even, you know, you praising somebody you didn't see. I was just reaching out. I was just praising him. And I remember the initial contact. I didn't think a lot about it. And the reality of what transpired didn't become clear until afterwards. Because, you know, if only people that have used drugs, including any kind of drug, and instantly been, if you've had to fight drugs, get away from it, you can relate to then when somebody said, I never had a withdrawal symptom at all. They just blew my mind. That was just that, you know, because a lot of people, as much as they say they got it under control, believe me, you don't destroy yourself and got it under. The fact that you're destroying yourself, that means you, if you're on drugs, you need to deal with the pain. And the only person that can heal the pain of a spirit is God. And, you know, that's just the reality of it. You need to submit to him. And that's what I did. And I didn't, you don't have to have a clear, I didn't have an ounce of sense. I wasn't even at a church. I wasn't being good. The only thing I was doing was his sister say, praise God, thank him for something that good he did. And the only thing I could think of was I got away with some criminal activity. That's where I was. But again, like I said, we have, this teaching has been taught before. If you can find Watchman Nee, if they still have him on YouTube, if you can drink some coffee, because he can put you to sleep. But I don't know if that's his actual voice, because he was around during 1900 to 1940. And he spent most of his time, like Paul, inside of a Chinese prison. But he the one that initiated this. I heard him before, and I read his books, but I never really saw his focus was on the millennial period when Christ was coming back and how this time that we exist relates to that time. And it makes sense. We're not going to be in this. We know we're going to have a glorified body. We know we're going to have a pain-free body. But we don't think about how much power that there is. Listen, when you're dealing with molecules, you're dealing with energy forces. You think about it. Molecules are never settled, never still, and we command them. We make brick. We make building because it looks like it's sitting still. We don't think a lot about that. But we are doing something. In the Star Trek series, you hear a lot about force fields. Those exist. They are molecules assembled, but they don't have a H-U-E hue to them, so you can't see them with your physical eye. In the exact same reason, you can't see demons around you, angels around you right now, because there's no hue to them. And you have a hue as a man or as a woman. And woman just means mankind with a womb, okay? But you have that power. You see this in the things that we accomplish, in the things that we do, we build, because we, when going back, you have to grasp and accept the reality. When God put his spirit, his intellect, it's like a growing, encompassing knowledge, power. He put that in Adam. He didn't see. We. I think what throws us is because we don't get to do all those things yet. We don't think we have that power. But God knows. Look at what people do with money. Think about it. It's paper with print on it, and people use it to abuse other people, to control other people, manipulate people, and they're telling God, if God gave me full power, this is what I'd do with his people. Because how do you would have, meaning that if you become a billionaire, be prepared to have a reason and explain yourself to God. Well, if you get to see God right after you die, then that means you passed. Because flunkies go straight to Hades, judgment. Hades is like the county jail. You go to county jail and wait to go to prison. But except in this case, you're talking about going from Hades to the lake of fire. You get a trial. You get to, I don't know. You know, that's just, God is just. That's the white throne judgment as in the book of Revelation. So I'm trying to help you understand, because some transitions going to come in people's lives. And even at that, as an individual, how you conduct your day-to-day life, how you perceive God's creation, you got to think of everybody as God's creation. I know if it wasn't important, it would be easy. But it's so critical because of the power level. You got to, when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, start thinking about how much power, think about all the molecular activity that goes on. When Jesus heals somebody, he's changing some things. And then there's activity going on molecularly that is beyond our imagination that happens. Scientists that look at it through a microscope are yet amazed. That's why they just sit there for hours looking through a microscope at something that when they pull back and it look like it ain't doing nothing, then they look in the microscope and they see all this activity. I'm telling you, there's a lot more going on than what you know. But how you conduct your life, how you use your voice, how you use your mind. You know, I use the phrase that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Now, all power, Romans chapter 1, 13:1 says all power is the power of God. It all belongs to God. There's a song, power belongs to God. Listen, witchcraft. Witchcraft is illegal use of the power of God. That's what it is. You know, fortunately, the override on that is any Christian. If you're a Christian and you're afraid of witches, you don't know your authority and you need to learn your authority in Christ, because a witch does not have power over you. I've dealt with witches. I've actually had experience with witches, and they were disappointed. So, anyway, but there's power. There's only power of God. It's about, see, Satan provokes illegal use. God promotes legal use. That's why he has requirements. That's why your faith life have to be intact. That's why your love life have to be intact. You have ground rules. Because, again, they're going to be survivors of the millennial reign that you're going to have to confront. You're going to have to deal with them. And you're going to be at the level that Jesus is now. And you're going to have to deal with them the way Jesus deal with you. You're going to have to, I tell you a good test. I know I'm going to make some eyes roll. Try it out on the president. I see them eyes rolling. She is shaking. Listen. See, I have an advantage to y'all. I worked in law enforcement for 31 years, and most of the time, when you work for the sheriff's department, you have to do tours in jail, and I spent a lot of time in there, and I dealt with people that did some heinous stuff, some stuff that I thought it was just wrong for them to even have a trial, because the guilt was clear. This wasn't a possible mistake. They admitted it. We just waste time and money. They didn't do that back in Moses' day. You know, send them straight on to God, and God finished. He did the final judgment. He was the Supreme Court back then. And then God told me to pray for them. The first time, you know, I knew it wasn't the devil. And I'm thinking, well, you must be a test. Listen, God has the whole picture of the situation, okay? He knew the demonic attack that occurred that drove that person to commit the act that they commit. Always a story. I've heard stories that is just unimaginable. Imagine. I don't think you could ever think of a person who had been sexually abused by their own mother. That would create an anger. And then while at the same time now, you hear people talk about this awesome, loving God. But what they don't know is how things are set up on the earth. God is not responsible. The fact that there was, it should not, this is how important prayer is. Praying for your neighbors. You'd be surprised what you stop from happening simply by praying, because you add to their authority over demonic forces like that. And then you got all the things that people do. People play with witchcraft and Ouija boards and bring all kind of stuff in their house, and then when crazy stuff like that happens, you authorize, particularly Christians, you authorize demonic forces to come in great number into your household and affect the innocent. And even yourself. See, you cannot think of this world of just what you see on this plain level. It is far more than that. And it is imperative that you get a revelation on it. Because, like I say, you got one of the classic cases in Luke chapter 16 is a man that I think would have been buried with honors. But he's in Hades right now as we speak. Okay, so again, like I said, I've been trying to emphasize where the trouble started with Satan. Got kicked out of heaven, so he's trying to keep everybody from getting to heaven because he know he's going to hell. Actually, he has some type of delusion, I think, that he can win this thing. His day is coming. But we as an individual have to remember who we are in Christ. So I hope you can keep coming. Because we're going to move forward. We're going to we'll see where the Holy Ghost is going to go with that. Anyway, so for those of you that may have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, which is something you most absolutely do, because we don't know one right now. We don't know. We know we're in the end of days. We know that the rapture could be any day. There's nothing now, absolutely nothing now, to prevent it. I don't think we'll get any more notices. This is it. I mean, I'm 69, and then you can research history. You haven't seen the last time the whole world got stopped, shut down, was when the rain came and under Noah's flood. So if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just say this little prayer with me. Said, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner and I am lost. And I know that you came, I believe that you came and you died and you rose again. And I believe that you are the Son of the living God, and that you alone are our Savior. And Father, I ask that right now for forgiveness for my sin, and I ask that, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Lord, I thank you. I believe I receive you, and I thank you for everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen." Ain't that something? I believe that'd be a good place to go right now. Next time is to look at the difference between what it takes to appease sin, but I don't think we're going to get past Abraham, skip past Abraham, because he's a major character. Just for those of you that probably never noticed, did you notice that Jesus' genealogy, his family history, does not start with Adam? It starts with Abraham. And with that, I want to invite you back next week, and keep the faith, and welcome to Training Day, final exam. Amen.
your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing, all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug. I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you could be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able about his children, man, my God don't play. So was you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug. I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.